I'm back after my 1 week off, PK. Happy Thanksgiving, Pat. I'm glad to be back on Real Estate Radio. I'm Byron Lazine, One and Company, William Ravis Real Estate, along with Pat Kenny of Barnum Plans. Pat, I didn't listen to the recording over on the podcast, CT Real Estate Radio, of last week's show. I saw you guys gave away.
That means Chaz probably still has a job. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So Chaz was, he was out of control.
Chaz, top five show between Chaz and then B. Fay in the second half. I'm telling you, man. Top five.
Oh, you had Brian Fay from New England Home Mortgage, huh?
We did. We were talking a little bit about the regulations around the crypto world and how, you know, people in more recently are not necessarily trying to buy homes crypto, but they're trying to use it as an asset, right? Hey, look, Brian, I have 50,000, 60,000, 80,000 in this account over here. And the mortgage lenders are just not interested in recognizing those assets yet.
You know, if you right now, there's a whole bunch of people online on the internet, the World Wide Web, Pat, that are like, the blockchain and crypto is going to change real estate. It's coming soon. It's coming soon. I talked to a really smart guy. He was one of the first four or five investors into Zillow, one of the founders. He's now founded this company called Tomo. They're headquartered out of Stamford, Connecticut, mortgage company. And they're like a new tech disruptor mortgage company. And I asked him, I said, hey, what do you think? Do you think we're going to get to a day here soon where we do away with all the town halls and everybody's titles and deeds are just, you know, living on the blockchain? And he goes, you know, that is so far away. It's just not going to happen anytime soon. And this is a guy who is a disruptor, who's a tech guy, who, you know, he's Silicon Valley, wants technology to take over, has invested in it throughout his career. One of the investors in Expedia and those companies early on, that was one of his early companies he was involved with. So he's not like some guy that's just like an old timer, but he just says he says to me, go convince one town hall to do it, let alone all of them, you know, all the little towns in Connecticut, get one town hall to switch over to the blockchain. You know how hard that would be? And then you have to duplicate that to every single one. What's the benefit to them? I mean, I could see a benefit obviously with, you know, them not having to have, you know, filing all those papers and paying someone to do that, but getting them to go through the process of switching over what they've done for ever is a very cumbersome, you know, argument.
Well, we talked about that a bit too, right? That was, you know, theoretically the most likely thing to happen in a, you know, and I'm making air quotes here for the listeners, short time, is using blockchain as a ledger, right? Like that's really, you know, how that's going to work. Using it to transact, I don't think is going to be anytime soonish, but we talked about, right? The first steps to move some of those things forward, and it's exactly right. It's how do you get, you know, you go to these little tiny town halls, you know, over in like, you know, in Basra, where, you know, Dot has been working there since 1957.
And my aunt Dot,
and she knows where everything is, and she's the only one. But they're only open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. with an hour lunch in between Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. And you're like, well, all right, like, why doesn't this happen? It's exactly your point, because somebody needs to do it, and no one wants to. And to your point, why would they? What does it matter to them? The agents, everybody else gets a benefit. They don't care.
I was a little bit surprised that he was not very bullish on it happening anytime soon. Not that I believe it's going to happen anytime soon. I happen to agree, but I just thought, from somebody who's heavily invested in these types of big companies that are disrupting industries, that he would take that stance. And he's in Stamford right now, and he's trying to attract other tech companies to Stamford. He's actually working with the Gov over there. The Gov lives in Greenwich, so I don't know how much time he actually spends in Stamford, but trying to attract these big companies into Connecticut. And they're starting to get some traction, from what I understand, of getting some tech into Stamford. But yeah, blockchain, everybody that's, I mean, you've got a lot of people online thinking things are going to happen so much faster than they actually will. And I believe NFTs and crypto and blockchain is the future. I just don't think it's going to happen in a tsunami wave all at once.
No, and you know, think about, you know, like obviously Brian and I were talking about this a little bit last week. You know, his industry very heavily regulated, obviously lending and you know, that kind of thing, just like ours is, and trying to get an insurance company or a lender or a bank to do anything that is especially tech heavy, but that removes this layer of comfort and you know, things that they've experienced for so long, it's going to take forever. It's going to take so long to move these, you know, these are massive ships that you're trying to turn directions on. And especially in a lot of those organizations, again, banks, especially big banks, right? And then, you know, in insurance companies, they're just very, very conservative. They're, you know, fiscally conservative and have been for a long time. And the idea of trying to disrupt, right? You're the leverage to do that really isn't there yet. And the idea that it's easier for 4 out of the 6 people involved in the process when the bank is the one who controls the money and doesn't care, good luck. You know, that's the part that's just so hard to get people to get around the corner on.
To me, some stuff that makes sense is, you know, being able to, you know, purchase real estate with crypto. And Jeff Bezos just invested in a company that is doing just that in South America. So that, or, you know, the title on an NFT deed and
yeah, smart contracts and stuff.
Being absolutely a smart contract, being on the blockchain, that stuff makes sense. What doesn't make sense, Pat, is some of these purchases that are happening in the metaverse. You had Metaverse Group pay $2.43 million on a land purchase in Decentraland. You had another plot on the metaverse sell for $913,000 of digital real estate. A $2.3 million land buy on Axie Affinity. This is like Sims on steroids, and people are buying up plots of land for real dollars in the metaverse. This is a $650,000 metaverse mega yacht was sold on the sandbox. Some of this stuff just sounds silly to me.
It's like you're joking when you say, like, you read the headline and go, okay, that was a very funny joke I just told. Nope. I mean,
we are on Business Insider, so it could all be completely fake news, but
very true. It does exist in other places. This is Market Insider.
Subdivision.
No, so it's a subdivision of Business Insider, but it's not run by the same hit squad that's been, you know, making the headlines here for the last couple of weeks.
Hey, if you want a real paper right now, and I don't get any money out of this, the Wall Street Journal is doing a Black Friday sale where you get it for $4 a month, digital copy for the next 12 months. Right now, I pay $39 a month for the Wall Street Journal. It's the one paper that I subscribe to. I know, Pat, you're a big subscriber of the day, but this is the one this is the one paper that I do subscribe to, and it's only $4 a month.
7 other people are keeping that place open right now.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I think we've got Lee Elsie coming up here, so a little surprise edition on the weekend. Lee Elsie, stay with us. He's going to be joining you guys next here at 94.9 News Now, Stimulating Talk. We'll be right back. Real Estate Radio, Byron Lazine, One & Company, William Ravis Real Estate, along with Pat Kenny, Barnum Plans, and Mike. I don't know. Do we got Lee? Did he hang around? I know he's busy down there carrying John Fuller's Christmas bag, but is he still hanging around? Lee. I thought we were going to have Lee here. Maybe not.
I don't. Who knows?
All right. Michael, let us know. We're like hoping Lee will come like back.
We're testing the technological capabilities here over at 94.9, I think. We had a lot of stuff going on here, a lot of action. You throw the remote in there. Listen, we've done enough remotes. We know how successful those generally aren't. So,
you know, Chris was John Fuller's best little elf back in the day on those remotes. But there is no Chris anymore. All right, Lee's on. Lee, what are you doing down there?
I can barely hear these guys. Is there a different way to pop me up?
Oh, I can hear you. You can't hear us.
Barely, but go ahead. I guess if you can hear me, I can make it work.
All right, Lee, what do you guys got going on down there? How can me and Pat help? Can we get some people over there?
Right now, there's a huge toy drive going on down here at Whaling City Ford, and they're dropping off toys left and right here for the kids. So fire department, police department. So if you want to go grab, you know, a couple of toys, unwrap, bring it down, that's what we're here for. We're doing that till, I'll be here till about 1 today, but there'll be somebody here pretty much all day. And it's all going right through the end of, well, the middle of December. So if you can't come today, at least go out there and grab a toy and bring it down.
That's amazing. Lee Elsie, supporting the toy drive. Lee, what's your favorite Thanksgiving food? Not on Thanksgiving Day, but leftover. What's your favorite leftover food, Lee?
It's a great question. You know, I think it's got to be the stuffing, right? Stuffing mixed with the cranberry sauce. Because you can't beat that. And you can always make a sandwich out of that. If you got any bread around, you make that a sandwich, and it's a home run. How about you?
Yeah, you know, I don't like the sweet potatoes on Thanksgiving Day because I like them cold. I like them cold, just like my heart, cold after Thanksgiving on the sweet potatoes. All right,
and there's never anything. Dude, I have nothing clever to say about someone who eats sweet day-old cold potatoes.
There's never any marshmallow left because everybody goes for the marshmallow first.
Yeah, because nobody actually likes sweet potatoes. They just like the marshmallows on top.
Hey, Lee, do you get into crypto yet? I know Gordon Vidal was trying to convince you.
Now, how much do you have?
I don't. I have about $25,000 of crypto.
All right, so it goes up and down. Are you still making money, or does a dip in the market cost you a little bit?
I would say I'm up for sure. I'm up big time from where I've bought this stuff, but it's gone down in the last couple weeks relative to the recent highs.
Right. So have you dumped any of it before?
No, I've never sold. I've only bought.
You've only bought. But do you have any concern that when you do go to buy, you go to sell, you're going to have no issue getting your cash? If you ever do.
I'm on Coinbase, so I feel like I'll have no issue.
You have no issue. Okay. That's my biggest concern is, you know, not that it's not something people are investing in. I just don't know of anybody who's, you know, dumped out of it and made a whole bunch of money. I'm sure I'm wrong, but you don't.
It's not like you're not borrowing crypto from Uncle Vinny. Like you're on like real exchanges and you know, like these, like Coinbase is a, you know, multi-billion dollar organization.
So you have no issue when you decide to sell, that money's going to be U.S. dollars in your account within minutes. Is that what
Was it within minute? Yeah, within a minute, you can switch it back over to U.S. dollars for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Unless you are using Uncle Vinny. Like, if Uncle Vinny is your wallet, then you
Uncle
probably
Gordon.
Have...
Yeah. Uncle Gordon Vidal. You just don't give your money to Gordon Vidal. Then you'll be... He's running it through the Cayman Islands or something. I don't know what
Gordon's
he's doing.
Got this one crypto. He's got like 100 million shares of it.
Oh, no. He's unbelievable. He's the new London County crypto god, among other things.
Crypto king. He is. He is crypto king. I'm fascinated by it. I wish I was in the beginning because I feel like I've missed the boat. But everyone says it's going to go through the roof still. Anybody who you talk to feels like it's going to go over 100,000, right?
Well, every 2 hours they're making a new coin anyway, so you're bound to catch the beginning of something.
Yeah, that's
what do you
true.
Make of, what do you make of that when they do that every couple of days, a new coin? How does that make you feel?
I think it's a lot of it's 99% of it's going to crash, just like 99% of people's NFTs and 99% right. of these plots of land being bought on the metaverse, their values are going to plummet. There was a plot of land, Lee, that just sold for $2.3 million on Decentraland. Some metaverse group bought this piece of property, a digital piece of property. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I heard about that. I don't understand.
Property owners in New London County saying right now, like, what the heck is going on here? There's digital land selling more than my real estate.
Have you ever thought about getting into that?
I'm studying the heck out of it for sure, because if people are spending this kind of money, you know, I don't think they need an agent, but do I need to be educated on it? Yeah, I think so. I definitely believe I got to be educated on it. I'm far from that at this point, but all right, go down and bring some toys to Lee. Drop him off some crypto so he can get his crypto game going.
Crypto, man. I'll trade it in for some toys.
Guys, thanks, man.
It's always fun talking to you, bro.
You too. Stay well and support the toy drive down there in New London. Thanks, Lee.
Thanks.
Maybe we'll do that, Pat. Maybe we can get, he's going through December. Maybe we can get some, when we give away Martin's money, we can match it with a toy.
Solid play right there. I think unwrapped new, right? We're going to make sure we meet the criteria there. We'll hook him
unwrapped
up.
And new. Yeah, nobody wants your leftover WWF wrestling figures, although those are selling for good money.
That's it. It's like a real life NFT now. You got these solid. I keep like reading about so this whole metaverse thing, and like very much like you, like, I'm very interested in what it is. It's not going to apply to my day to day by any means, but I'm sure someone's going to ask me about it, and I do prefer to have some sort of an answer. So Grayscale, which is this financial firm, they're the ones that launched the Bitcoin ETF. That was like the first ETF that, you know, it tracks Bitcoin futures, but they're like the biggest one. It's a fairly sizable fund. And they think that the revenue opportunity inside of metaverse real estate is north of $1 trillion a year.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I used to love that game. I always think of it as The Sims.
It is. That's basically, yeah. I mean, like you're very much. But this is like not like Sim City. This is like actually, well, it's more like Sim City than The Sims.
Well, I mean, that's what I mean. Sim City. That was the game I loved. I could play Sim City for hours on my Gateway 2000 in my parents' basement, literally in the '90s.
Do the unlimited money cheat code and just build everything. It's kind of unnecessary.
Well, I wasn't able to put money into it. So I had to grind it out, Pat. You know, I had to earn everything I could get on Sim City. But yeah, that was. That's what I think of when I think of this. Like, okay, it's basically a blank slate of land, and you're trying to figure out what is the best plot going to be in 20 years when this actually, this digital land, this digital metaverse of plots becomes valuable where multiple people are in on it. What plot am I going to want to be sitting on, and for what purpose? Is it to have a NFT art gallery? I mean, the weird thing is, you know, what are you going to actually do there? You can't sit, you know, the one thing I came through my head is you can't sit down and eat, can you? Can you sit down and eat in these digital worlds? Is that going to be fulfilling in any way? Are you going to get any nutrients out of that?
Well, so I think a lot of like, so, you know, the whole augmented reality, virtual reality thing, right? So you've seen a lot more, I'm sure. You know, Facebook had Oculus for, well, now it's Meta, whatever. Meta has Oculus, right? And they, I don't know if you saw, like, during the Macy's Day Parade, there was a boatload of augmented reality happening that you could see through your phone if you were physically there. If you were watching it on TV, obviously they just layered it over the top of the video feed. But they had people that they had given these VR headsets to that would look up and see, you know, the actual float in a video stream because that's where they were. And then they'd see, like, I think at one point, there was like a Star Wars one, and all of a sudden, the Millennium Falcon comes in, like flying in the cities of New York, and like flies through the parade and takes off again. And you know, you watch these people on the screen with their headsets on, like that's how they're going to interact with all of the metaverse stuff, right? Not to your point, unless you like Uber Eats some actual food from the metaverse restaurant, you know, you're not going to do that kind of thing. I don't think we're in like that kind of a future yet, but people are. It's weird. They're going to go live in these kind of environments, and it's. It's a human video game now, but you'll be able to go in and you know, and purchase services and buy all the stuff and
if you're making money in this metaverse, then like real money, if you're making legit money, then you're probably just going to wake up, put this thing on, go into that universe. Like if you can make more money in that universe than you can in the real universe, then
this is going to turn into like
spend all
weird...
your time there.
Well, it's going to turn into one of these weird, like, we're still a ways out, listen, but like, this looks like one of those weird futuristic sci-fi movies, like, where people just, you know, they work in the metaverse and hey, time to go to work, honey. Okay, see you later. Slap on the headset. And then, you know, they're in this weird, you know, Legoland environment thing. And it's going to be kind of nuts.
So then I think like the only thing you ever do when you come out of it is go to the doctor and go to dinner. You know,
yeah, like use the bathroom and sleep. Like, other than that, like
yeah, that's the thing that's beautiful is you still need real estate to be in the metaverse. You can't do it without being inside of some type of building. So
well, you know what's crazy too? Like what I think is really interesting about this is like, and I think we kind of breezed past it. So they bought this $2.43 million piece of land, but they didn't buy it for $2.43 million. They bought it for 618,000 mana coin, right? So like. I'd be very curious to see what happens to Mana, right? If Mana has a pop over the next 6, 8, 10, 12 months, that 2.4 million with whoever they bought the land from could become 3.5 or 4. But if it goes the wrong direction, they got stealed.
On the day they bought it, Mana coin was worth 2.4, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting to see, you know, on the long end of things, had, you know, from an investment standpoint, holding 618 mana for a year is equal to what versus what's this plot of land going to be, you know, air quotes land going to be worth in a year.
Maybe the people that had the mana coin, right? Maybe they bought it for way less than 2.43 million. Maybe they bought the coin for a million, but at that point where they bought the digital land, they had the opportunity to say, I'm going to take this mana coin, go get me 2.43 million of USD, or I'm going to go buy this digital piece of land. And they took the digital piece of land over the 2.43 million USD. Yeah. I mean, that tells you something right there.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. Yeah. And that's the part that's very interesting, right? And that's, I think, one of the things that, you know, people are hesitant about, right? So, like, to your point, I buy Bitcoin at 25, it's worth 50. I go use it to buy something real. I made out like a bandit because I put it, I put it in my 25, I got 50 out of it, blah, blah. But now the person that I gave that Bitcoin to, I think you ever hear the story about the Domino's pizza guy? In like the,
yes.
The guy who bought pizza for like 15 or 300 Bitcoin or something, and now it'd be worth, you know, 25 billion. Like, that's the kind of thing that you're like, wow, are you going to have this buyer's remorse because the asset changed? Because it's not a currency, it's an asset. Like, it's be serious. Like, you're transacting it, but it's an asset.
Crazy world we are living in, PK. The metaverse and the digital real estate and all that stuff is upon us. But you know what? We're just going to give away some old-fashioned Martin's money later on here in the show when we come back, in the form of gift cards. Real gift cards that you can touch and go out to eat with. So stay with us for that. We'll be right back. Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now. Stimulating talk. Real Estate Radio, Byron Lazine, One and Company, William Ravis Real Estate, along with Pat Kenny from Barnum Plans. And we're going to jump into the One and Company Rewind for the week. If you've got some real estate to promote, we're happy to give you the opportunity to do that on this show. 860-464-9490 is the number. If you've got any real estate to promote, a new listing, a listing coming up, an open house, call in 860-464-9490. We'll help you promote it. And you could be a for sale by owner, even an agent. We don't care. Whoever you are, if you got some real estate to promote, we'll help you out. All right. One and Company Rewind for the week. This week, Pat, even on the holiday week, we had 4 new listings, 16 properties that we put under contract with buyers and sellers, and 9 closings. Okay, so the 4 new listings we had was 678 Savin Avenue, number 1A in West Haven. That's for $149,900. 678 Savin Ave, number 1A in West Haven, $149,900. Also, 22 Applewood Drive in Meriden went on for $209,900. That's one of our under contracts, though. That's already gone under contract. 22 Applewood Drive, Meriden, 2099. In Pawcatuck, 25 Moss Street, on for $399,000. Single family home, 2,200 square feet. Beautiful front porch, 25 Moss Street, in the heart of the Pawcatuck Village. 25 Moss Street, $399,000. Screamer of a deal there. Also, 9 Harvest Glen in East Lyme, on for $699,000. This is almost 3,000 square feet. 5-bedroom, 3-bath, colonial, 1.5 acres in East Lyme. $699,900. 9 Harvest Glen, East Lyme, $699,900. All right, we put properties under contract in Stratford, Griswold, Groton, Stonington, Waterford, Bristol, Westbrook, Waterford, Waterbury, Guilford, Meriden, Bristol, East Haven, Stonington, East Haven, and Colchester. Those were the 16 properties one and company put under contract this week. And our 9 closings were in East Haven, Clinton, Old Saybrook, Fairfield, Meriden, Wallingford, Meriden, Hamden, and Middletown. That's your one and company at William Ravis Real Estate rewind of the week. And we have an open house this week. It's a double hitter. No, a double. What do they call those? The baseball games? Double header, not a double hitter. Double header. Okay. We've got a Saturday and a Sunday open house. So today till 1 o'clock, you can get over to 41 Pennsylvania Ave in Montville. 41 Pennsylvania Ave in Montville. Ranch property is open until 1 o'clock, 2-car garage today, okay? And then it's also open tomorrow, 11 to 1. That's 41 Pennsylvania Ave in Montville. Carrie Poirier, she'll be over there showing you guys around, 11 to 1 today. So you got to 1 o'clock today. It's already 11:40 almost. And then 11 to 1 tomorrow, 41 Pennsylvania Ave. And that's it. That's the open houses one and company at William Ravis Real Estate. And this is in the real world, Pat. This isn't in the metaverse. Okay. So this is the actual Montville in New London County in the state of Connecticut on the real planet Earth.
So don't go to Montville.com
now
with your headset on, expecting to be able to see this property with Carrie and whatnot.
Don't go to the metaverse. You're going to be disappointed.
Only in the real world, though. But so look at. So I sent you this. Speaking of metaverses, I'm doing like the world's worst segue. So we talked about really quick off air about how this is. You know, there's so much information coming and so many things changing so quickly.
Now you're sending me stuff from Business Insider India. Now India, they've got to be more reputable than Business Insider in America, right?
I would hope so. I mean, I think that's why that's why they have a separate entity. I just kind of went down this Decentraland rabbit hole. But there's like, you know, so they talk about how there's 5 popular coins that are looking to build these metaverses or their own little. So the Sandbox we just talked about, right? There was a transaction there. Decentraland, which is where we just talked about this $2.43 million thing happening. And there's other ones. And all of these are like these little self-contained universes that all have their own in complete, you know, separate ways to transact business and purchase and sell and different currencies. And it's like these little, they're like different countries. Like we have separate little virtual countries. So trying to be someone in the real world who's interested in this digital world, where would you go? Like this is, it's so much. There's so much information. And we talked about this for the last 39 minutes and we've already ended up in like 16 different places.
There's so much risk involved right now because you don't know where it's going to play out. If you're going to invest in, you know, real estate today in the real world, then America looks like a pretty good place to do it in comparison to, say, you know, Venezuela, right? But who's going to be the Venezuela of the metaverse?
And who already is? There might even be one already at this point. You know, we got. And this is just the 5 popular ones, right? This is not even including, you know, and there's Facebook and then there's Microsoft who are trying to build their own, you know, worlds. And obviously, you know, Facebook has now become Meta, which is Metaverse and the whole thing. And, you know, Zuckerberg probably hears me talking about this and it's being amended to my Facebook profile, I'm sure, somewhere. But, you know, I think it's so much. But I think we got to stop. We're going down the rabbit. I'm bringing us down the rabbit hole and I apologize. How do we keep people in the real world happy? Like giving them some Martin's Money gift cards.
That's let's give some real money on. Away.
Yeah,
real
Martin's like money. A physical gift card to a physical place that you can go do things and stuff. What do we?
It's a food weekend, Pat. It's all about the food on Thanksgiving weekend. The real food, not the meta food. The real stuff. So let's go and let's give away Martin's money based on. Where's that article I sent you this week? That was the most frequently cited states or the most frequently cited state in each state's restaurant names. Okay. So what is the most frequently cited state in Connecticut for restaurant names? Okay. An example of this would be the Texas Roadhouse. like in Texas, Texas is the most frequently cited state in that state for restaurant names. But not every state has their name cited the most in their state. So what is it for Connecticut? The most frequently cited state in Connecticut for restaurant names, 860-464-9490 is the number. The first one that gets that correctly is going to be getting a gift card to Sneakers Cafe in Groton, courtesy of Martin's Money Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist.
I don't know why, but I do want to cite what I feel is a flaw in this, and it's not a disqualifying flaw, right? You know, DC is not included, so it's fine. But the bottom corner of the graphic that they show this in, Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen has been filtered out. If included, 28 states would be attributed to Louisiana. So it's the only one.
But I don't really take Louisiana as, I don't really ever see Louisiana in the name. I always just see Popeye's, the fast food chain.
But yeah, but so on the back of that, does that mean we filtered out Jersey Mike's? Because they're a chain. They got a state in it. Is the data set flawed? Like, I'm just upset about the little stat here in the corner. It's kind of making me question the integrity of this Reddit survey.
Jersey Mike's hasn't gotten big enough for them to filter. Maybe they did filter out Jersey Mike's. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. It is very funny. Like, the map is, you know, obviously because you and I can cheat and see it. Some of it's very strange. Yeah, I would love to know some of these, you know, Midwest and you know, northern states. I do, props to South Dakota for being its own, right? South Dakota's most cited state reference in South Dakota restaurants is the state of South Dakota. I would have assumed that there's maybe three restaurants in the entire state. So I guess if one of them or two of them is named South Dakota, then I guess that's plenty. But if anybody has experience going to South Dakota and wants to tell me about their culinary experiences in the thriving metropolis that is South Dakota, I'd be very curious to hear about that.
Well, South Dakota got their own name, Texas, Louisiana, Hawaii got their own name, Alaska got their own name.
California
did. Yeah, that was actually surprising, California.
Maine, Vermont, Arkansas, actually, Oklahoma, yeah, Kansas.
So you got some of those out there, but you got a whole bunch that are not their own name. What is Connecticut, the most frequently cited state for restaurant names in the state of Connecticut? What is it? 860-464-9490 is the number. The winner is going to get a gift card to Sneakers Cafe in Groton, a real restaurant in the real town of Groton, courtesy of Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist. All right, I think you guys got Lee coming back up here shortly. Another message from Lee Elsie. Help support the man. We'll be right back. Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. Just because you brought it up when we were in the break there, you brought up gambling, sports gambling. Foxwoods has now opened. Ooh. Remember what we were looking at? That beautiful bar, the double-decker bar with the sports bar and all the TVs and the gambling inside this bar. They've now opened that up on the Pequot side. So that is now open. And I'm going to try to get up there in December when I'm up there, try to get in. It looks incredible. I know a couple guys that went. They said it is incredible. I mean, it looks beautiful. So they have amended their soft opening with the old crappy sports book, and they've opened up this beautiful DraftKings space, double decker. Looks incredible. Looks as good. The snapshots I've seen look as good as the photos online.
Because I remember that show was an emotional roller coaster for you and me, because we were really excited they finally had it, and then you know, we started going down this rabbit hole of it's terrible. It's the old, was it the old Geno's space? Where was it? Was it the old sports book? I don't know where it was now. But
no, it was at Foxwoods. It was just the old sports book with like 12-inch screen TVs. It was pathetic.
Yeah, so I'm glad to hear, man. That's exciting. That's awesome.
All right, we've got a little giveaway going. 860-464-9490 is the number. All you got to do is call in and guess which state is used most frequently in restaurant names here in Connecticut. So which state, little hint, it's not our own, Connecticut. So which state is most frequently used in the name of restaurants here in the state of Connecticut? 860-464-9490. We're going to hook you up with a Sneakers gift card if you get that right, courtesy of Service Station Equipment.
Kind of funny if you look around the map, right? How many total states are actually used? It's not like there's, you know, 37 out of the states are used in name. It's like 8.
Yeah, Connecticut is not on the list.
Yeah, there's no state in the country has named any restaurant or the most restaurants in their state Connecticut something. Connecticut style this or Connecticut style that.
You could do a chain of, you know, New Haven pizza. New Haven style pizza is actually on the name of some restaurants outside of the state of Connecticut.
True. I've said there's a couple here. There's a couple on the side of Florida.
I was just in Miami on my way back from St. John, Pat.
Yep.
I stopped at Harry's Pizzeria in the Art District.
Okay.
I know Miami's a little south of you, but fabulous. Great pizza.
Yeah. I think I told you, right? We found a spot over here that actually that knows what they're doing, coal fired, like, but the crust is right and it's there. They got it.
All right. We've got Bill from Gales Ferry who has a guest. Bill, how you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. You have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. You?
Yes. Yes, I did. I'm still full. So, Bill, what do you got for a guess here on the restaurant name?
I got to go with New York.
New York pizza. New York style pizza. New York is indeed the most frequently used state name in the state of Connecticut. I think New York had the most, Pat. Am I right? New York had the most. New York and Texas were like two that were...
Yeah, I think New York's got it by like one or two, but it was, yeah, Texas gave them a hot run there for a second.
Basically, the entire East Coast, almost every single state uses New York most frequently, including Florida, in their state names. And Connecticut is right there with everybody else on the East Coast. So, Bill, you've got yourself a gift card to Sneakers, courtesy of Service Station Equipment. Stay in the line. We'll get you hooked up.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill.
He's not going to enjoy. He's going to enjoy Sneakers style, not New York style, or wherever he's gone.
Sneakers, baby. They got some New York dishes there. That the Annie style Reuben, which I love. That's a New York style sandwich.
I think if you, again, yeah, I mean, we can see the map, but I think it's funny to look at, you know, how Texas kind of infiltrates its way towards the East Coast, but not really to the coastal states. It just gets there. It gets to PA. It's pretty good. Then it kind of skips New England for a second. It somehow ends up in New Hampshire. So somehow New Hampshire has more restaurants with the name Texas in it than any other state. Vermont is its own. Maine is its own. And then everything else down the coast is all New York.
Everything is New York.
Literally. Literally everything is in New York. And you get a couple of little weird outliers. You got to kind of bounce around, right? You got was it over here in Missouri? Mississippi? Yep, Mississippi. Wrong one. And then we got Nebraska for some reason and Arizona. I don't know why I'm surprised about Nebraska being New York. I would have expected something else in Nebraska. Maybe more Texas, but I guess not.
There's 5 Hawaiis out there. I thought that was a little surprising. What's Hawaii known for?
Hawaiian pizza? Right?
What is it?
like Hawaiian pizza? Hawaiian punch? I don't know.
There's nothing worse than Hawaiian pizza. I'm sorry.
Besides how
chicken on your pizza. I can't take people that put chicken on their pizza. Are you one of those guys, Pat?
Buff chicken is the only acceptable chicken. Other chicken freaks me out. It's a weird thing. I think because of Eliano's and their buffalo chicken pizza, I was always just like, that was totally acceptable because it's absolutely delicious. But like, you're right, like grilled chicken or like barbecue chicken pizzas. And like, look, I
draw barbecue chicken pizza. That is gross stuff.
Draw a line in the sand. Don't understand why you do that. Those kind of things. But it's kind of funny, like, to me, like, it's so, like, so Washington, Oregon, Nevada, and Hawaii, right, are all Hawaii. I'm sorry, and Utah. I guess, yeah. I guess what is Utah known for, I guess, from a culinary standpoint, right? Utah style.
Big on Hawaii there.
Apparently. which makes sense. You know, an island chain versus a landlocked desert state makes sense. It's very strange. Yeah, it's weird. Like, I would love to know, like, I mean, not that I need all of that data. I'm just, like, curious, like, you know, in Kansas, it's Kansas something or other. Like, it makes sense, right? Kansas City this, Kansas City barbecue. Like, I sort of kind of get that, all right? Arkansas, what? Louisiana? Totally makes sense, right? Louisiana, everything in the state of Louisiana is Louisiana's all this and, you know, Creole. I totally understand. I don't know. I just don't get what some of the chains are, or not chains, but I guess what some of the places are. Is there? Wait, I just saw citations. Hang on.
I want to do the Connecticut style pizza down here. I told you my idea. I want to do it down here in Florida. I want to get Martin to bring the water down with the Irish Spring. Well, it won't be the pool water. It'll just be just non-pool water. Just be water. Connecticut water.
Yeah, pool water is going to make a difference on the taste.
You can't get a lot of good pizza in Florida, but for some reason, Miami, there's a in that art district, there's like three or four pizza places that Portnoy ranked really high. I went to Harry's.
Yep. They're in Grove, right? Like Coconut Grove area. Like,
is the art district Coconut Grove? I don't know.
Yeah, it's south of the city of Miami and kind of west of Miami Beach, because you're not actually on like the little strip at that point. You're down in the art district is, I think it's right around the corner. I think it's like part of the Grove.
I only went there because we flew out of Miami because we had no directs to St. John for the vacation from this side of the state. So,
yep.
On the way back, I had to charge up the Tesla, which was, that was a little weird. You know, that was my first experience, like running the Tesla down to basically nothing, leaving at the airport all week, wondering if like it's going to lose battery during the
residual charge. Yeah. Oh, that's not good.
And then having to go get a charge, you know, immediately and get the daughter a little pizza so she could take the hour and a half drive back over to the West Coast. And yeah, that was interesting. But yeah, we ended up in the art district. It was right next to Miami International, maybe 10, 12 minutes away. And pretty cool hipster area there.
It, very much so. Very, very much so. Like Coconut Grove is I like a lot. It's like an interesting area. Yeah, basically you kind of drive past Miami almost. Because I mean, it's, you know, it's a part of Miami, but you're on the southern point of it.
Yeah.
And it's you know, it's, if you're looking at a map, it's west and south of like Miami Beach, like South Beach. It's 10 minutes away, but it's like a separate little world. It's fairly self-contained, right? So if you're in the Grove, you don't really have to go to downtown Miami unless you really want to go to, you know, a particular restaurant on like, you know, on South Beach or whatever that kind of thing is. But it is a really cool area. But yeah, to your point, like some of the stuff is very like very Soho kind of like, you know,
yeah.
It had a little
New Yorkish flair there.
But they have like, there's like a whole like walking tour you can do through the art district to check out all these murals that are all over the side of all these kind of crazy buildings. And it's definitely like a solid couple of hours. Like, you know, you can take your time going through because you'll stop at like, you know, there's like a shop here and a boutique here or a restaurant. And, you know, you kind of do all of this stuff together, you know, as part of that one trip. But I feel like that's where I saw Harry's last time we were down there. But yeah, we're headed Miami-ish next weekend. I won't be quite in Miami. We're going to go see the Dolphins and the Giants play.
I'm supposed to be at that game. Hey, I got to call Martin. He's got my tickets for that game. Martin, where's my tickets for that Miami game? He didn't give them to you, did he?
I hope not. I don't know. I gave somebody money for him, so I really hope I don't have a free ticket to go along with it. Yeah, me and there's going to be like six of us. So it's my father-in-law, his cousins, and my brothers-in-law who are going to shoot down there. I don't know where we are yet.
Right now. I don't know if he's going to say I dropped the ball on this. I was supposed to have those tickets, and I don't think he ever – well, he never gave them to me because I don't have them.
Oof. Yeah, we're headed down. Which is, I mean, it's not really Miami. It's basically Lauderdale, but, you know, because it's Hard Rock Stadium. But, yeah, we'll be down there. 1 o'clock game, too, which I like. Huge fan of day games. I don't want to go to, like, a 7 o'clock game anymore, 8 o'clock game.
He's going to call me a hammer, and I hope he's listening to this. I'm texting you right now, Martin. Where are my Giants tickets for next weekend? I want those Giants tickets. All right, PK, what do you got this week? Where can people find you before? So you're going to be on the show next week before the Giants game?
Yeah, game Sunday.
Yeah, game Sunday. All right, good. Yeah. Where can people find you this week if they got some investing needs?
Hit me on the old Barnum Plans with an S. Barnum, like P.T. Barnum, plans.com. Usually the easiest way to just hook up with them, you know, book a time, 2 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever you want to do, really quick conversation. If you got any questions, happy to answer what I can. Unless they're about real estate, in which case, I mean, totally the wrong guy.
If they're about real estate, come ask me and our team over at One & Company, oneandcompany.com. You can email me, Byron@oneandcompany.com. If you'd like to join the team, I'll actually pay for your real estate license. Go over to real estate realestateagentscholarship.com. realestateagentscholarship.com. We'll get you set up with that. Great show, PK. Go support the toy drive down in New London. What was the address there? Do you remember?
Over, it's at Whaling City on the corner of London and Coleman and Broad.
Whaling City. Go see Lee. Check out the crew over there. Drop off a unwrapped brand new toy for the toy drive today and into December. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe. Thank you, Service Station Equipment. Thank you, Mike, over there at 94.9 Studios. And we'll see you next week. Real Estate Radio, 94.9 News Now, stimulating talk.